Howdy, folks. It's me, Tom Sawyer, coming straight from Clearview Church in the heart of our beloved Henderson, North Carolina. Gather around, gather around. We've got a spectacle you won't want to miss. Join us for a rip-roaring adventure down by the Mississippi with me and all my pals at Clearview Theater's production of Tom Sawyer. From fence painting to treasure hunting, it's a tale that'll tickle your funny bone and warm your heart. Dr. Abaddon Shaw's opening up the whole night, taking a look at the life of my good buddy Mark Twain. So mark your calendars and grab your tickets for an evening of laughter, mischief, and good old-fashioned fun at Clearview Church, Saturday, April 27th, and Sunday, April 28th. Doors will open at 6, and show starts at 7. Tickets are free, but they are going fast, so come over and see us at Clearview Church in Henderson and get yours today.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abaddon Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shaw or suggestions for new topics, write in and let us know at 252-582-5028. Or you can send us an email at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. We want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. And you can help us do that by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. You know why? Because I don't like it and it's mean to me.
Please.
We're going to leave some links in the description so you can do just that.
Today is April the 26th, which means that our date the word today is coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath.
This is one of the hard rules that Ellie and I have in our marriage. We don't have a lot. You know, we don't have a lot of, hey, this is the rule. This is one of them.
Yeah.
I think we have maybe two or three. One of them is if we got beef, nobody's going to bed.
Yep.
You don't do it.
Same.
And it has really worked out because it just kind of forces you to confront all the things that I would typically avoid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm perfectly willing. If I feel like I'm right, which most of the time I do, I'm like, let them stew. Let them stew on it. They'll figure it out. And most importantly, I don't have to be involved in any sort of confrontation. And so having this rule in our marriage has really, 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 I think, elevated our trust in one another, because nobody's going to sleep until this issue is solved and we're at peace again.
Yeah. Well, and it points something interesting out about anger.
Mm-hmm.
It says, be angry and do not sin. It's
right.
Not a sin in and of itself to get angry.
That's
at
right.
Something. It's a normal response. It's a natural emotion that we feel. But what we do with that anger then can lead us to sin.
That's
where
right.
Your thoughts
That's right.
take you, where your actions take you. If you speak out of anger, then you start to enter into that sinful territory. But feeling angry about something is a normal response. It's
That's
like
right.
feeling fearful or feeling upset about something. But then it says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Elizabeth and I have the same rule mm-hmm. in our marriage. If we're upset with one another, we're going to fix it before we go to sleep.
That's
if
right.
If it takes all night, then it takes all night. Because more important than me going to sleep and tossing and turning and getting some amount of rest is repairing what is broken between us.
Yeah. That's right. And if these daily verses are helping you, you can get them on the Date the Word app. In fact, they're a partial sponsor of today's episode, and you can get it for free on iPhone or Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's Word with the hope of making it more memorable for you. Oh, we made it. It's Friday.
Friday.
It's Friday. Friday.
Here's
Gotta
the deal,
get
though.
Down on.
We're about to go into a big weekend.
It's a big weekend, man. It's a big weekend.
Big
How you feeling?
Weekend.
You feeling,
I
feeling
feel
ready?
Good. I feel good. Everything is where it needs to be. Got some butterflies, but that's normal.
It's play weekend.
It's play weekend.
Tom Sawyer. The adventures
of
Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer.
Huckleberry Finn and Joe the
Harper.
Friend that didn't get a book.
And also Joe.
Yeah. It would have been great if that was a trilogy. Like the first two got a book and then Joe Harper gets his, but you never hear from Joe.
No,
it is what it is. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you $1 million for all your troubles.
Oh,
you've done a great
that.
Job directing this play.
Thank you. You've done a great job acting in the show. You're a character in the show.
I have one line, and I have delivered it with the fullness of my ability.
You have one scripted line.
I have one scripted line.
You have
line.
A larger part than just the one
true.
Line. But you have one scripted line.
True, true. I'm going to give you $1 million.
And I love that for me.
Here's the only bugaboo. Any food that you ever have, and David, you can answer this too.
I do eat from time to time.
Yes.
So.
Any food that comes with sauce, you don't get the sauce. You got to go without the sauce. So if you eat spaghetti, that's just dry noodles.
Oh,
David,
I was thinking like French fries and ketchup. I'm like, okay,
same,
I could
same.
Probably.
Yeah, same. If you eat, like David, you eat, Kurt, he's already shaking his head no. already like, no, not happening.
This is salad without dressing?
Yes, this is salad without
this
dressing.
This is wings with no sauce?
This is wings.
This
is
pizza
dry
with no sauce?
Yeah, that's crusty. That's just bread and cheese. It's going to be bad. That's why you're getting a million. David, you eat like curry, right? I think that's just chunks of dry beef and carrot.
I can do the wings with no sauce. I can do salad with no dressing. It's not great, but I can manage it.
Yeah, I've done it too. It's not fun.
Yeah.
Butter chicken with no.
It would just be a little curry. That's even butter chicken at that point.
Yeah, it's just chicken chunks on rice.
Soup is more or less done.
Soup is an empty bowl.
Campbell's tomato soup is just literally, it's an empty bowl. It's like maybe a little bit of water if you have
tomato soup, except no, it's not. It's just a bowl of tomatoes.
It just doesn't exist for you anymore. Yeah, dry pasta. Would you eat like dry noodles? I couldn't do that.
No, I couldn't do that.
No. Mm. I think that the sauce makes it. There's some things like fries. I mean, the steak. Think about a steak. You don't get steak sauce now.
I could do a steak without steak sauce. I've done that before. I could do that. But almost all chicken, you need some kind of sauce.
Is butter technically a sauce? Like, would you eat a baked potato with no butter?
So it depends. I think if you put the butter on, if you spread the butter, I would not consider that a sauce.
Yeah.
But if it is melted butter that you drizzle over something, that is probably a sauce. True.
I would go with that. I think you can still spread stuff. You can have preserved. But
I think I'm going no. I don't think I can do this.
I think I would do it, but it would be a miserable life.
You're already getting $1 million. Why do you want to be miserable and rich?
Yeah, true.
I would rather be happy and moderate.
I gotta think that through.
Yeah,
Plain burgers.
I could do plain burgers. I've done that.
No pizza. Like bready
pizza. Yeah, pizza's done. I mean, you have like glorified cheesy bread at that point.
I might have to go no.
I think no.
I need to think about like the welfare of my children with giving up this $1 million, but I think I'm going no.
I think I have to go no. Y'all just have to get your own scholarship. Sorry about you.
Y'all just have to work hard.
I don't think I can do that. Let's ask Dr. Shaw when he comes in. I wonder if he would do it. You think so?
I think he would do it. Yeah. Yeah, he'll do it.
That's intense. Write in and let us know if you would take that deal. No sauce on any food forever.
Yeah, no more sauce.
For $1 million.
No more sauce.
Write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian Talk Radio.
And listen, we know we are not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com. Or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. We are here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Questions today. Dr. Questions, much like our normal host, Dr. Abadan Shah, is also a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Al just happens to be a professor at Carolina University, whether you can believe it or not, is an author, full-time pastor, and somehow is the host.
I'm not saying they're the same person, but I'm saying I've never seen
them
the same
person. I'm just saying every
time.
Couple of Fridays, Dr. Shaw isn't here, but Dr. Questions comes in.
It's
like,
just curious how that happened.
And it's like, I just don't know the dynamic. I don't know like what to do, but he is here on the show. Dr. Questions, we had someone write in today, almost a sadist, if you will,
Tell him lightning round questions.
Well, it is lightning round questions, but I'm saying this was what somebody wrote. This was what we talked about in the intro.
Oh, you're right.
They said they wanted to give you $1 million. They wanted to donate it to Clearview Church, if you can believe it. But they said any food that you normally have with sauce, you got to eat without sauce. So if you eat spaghetti, you get $1 million. But if you eat spaghetti, you just dry noodles.
Like, is it for the rest of my life?
Yeah. Mm. If you eat like curry just is sauce, right? So I guess you just eat like chunks of beef and stuff.
Steak. I don't care if you
Fake purists out here.
Yeah, I'm like, where is Heinz 57?
Yeah, yeah.
So lather it up.
I also
the steak is good enough. You don't need the sauce. What if I want the sauce?
Yeah, I want the
I
sauce.
I want the sauce.
I don't want your steak. I appreciate that, but
I want the sauce.
I want the sauce.
If it was socially acceptable
Chad.
To drink yes. it as a beverage. I would.
Yeah,
yeah
true.
Barbecue sauce. I'll give. I don't think I want $1 million.
I wouldn't take it either.
I think I'd take it.
I wouldn't
either.
Take it. Imagine we were talking about that, but just imagine choking down dry noodles.
That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's terrible.
I think I'm gonna ban Franklin R from writing into the podcast again. Sorry
Franklin,
about
your
you,
questions
bud.
Are getting a little unhinged.
Yeah, man, you gotta you gotta chill out.
It's getting a little unhinged.
But it is lightning round questions day. It is Friday.
It is. So it is Friday. We take those questions that you have submitted by texting that number 252-582-5028, and we pose them to not Dr. Shaw.
Dr. Questions himself. First question is coming to us, Cindy P. from South Carolina. Ryan, what do you think that P stands for?
Oh, that P probably stands for prosciutto.
Cindy Prosciutto writes, I loved your episode last week on doubt. Do you think a Christian can ever train themselves, she put that in quotes, not to feel guilty about doubting?
Mm. Wow.
Yes, I covered that a little bit last time. Mm-hmm. Can you train yourself not to feel guilty about doubting? Can you train yourself not to feel guilty about? I don't feel guilty at all.
Yeah.
I don't because doubts are part of growth.
True.
Mm-hmm.
When you face those questions like, wait, why is this like this? Or why am I reading this account in Matthew, but when I read the synoptic parallel in Mark or Luke, it seems like there is a mistake. Mm-hmm. What's happening here?
True.
Those questions help me dig deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And in digging deeper, it's not like it's all resolved. No, sometimes there are still issues. I go, you know, I'll have to come back to this another time when I have 5-6 more hours left
right.
in my day.
Right.
And I can do that. But I don't look at them as just doubts.
True.
I hope I'm understanding her question correctly.
I think so. I think she's coming from a point of like, I consider my doubt lack of faith
yeah.
rather than an opportunity to dig deep.
Yeah,
because
that's
I have
how
a question.
I see it. Yeah. I don't look at them as, I don't know if I can continue to believe.
Mm-hmm.
That has been settled for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That got settled about, but now I said somewhere 2003, 2004. So that got settled about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think you framed it correctly and helpful for us when you talked about, you know, when we understand what we believe, doubt does not become the shake to our faith. It doesn't start yeah. to tear our faith apart. Doubts, we shouldn't feel guilty about them. Doubts are just going to be resolved.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it's not doubting God or doubting his word or doubting salvation or doubting Jesus Christ or doubting inerrancy. It's just that they have a question about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one day I'll figure that out.
Right. Our next question comes to us from Mike C. John, what do you think the C stands for?
Carbone.
Carbone. Is this Mike Carbone?
No, it's not. But given the nature of the question, I really hope it's from Mike Carbone.
Oh,
I know it's
good
not.
Friend.
Who is Mike Carbone?
He's the COO of the Truth Network. He's the guy that went with us to NRB.
Gotcha,
he was the guy who pretty much solo doloed the entire NRB.
Yeah.
Like that dude was a superhuman. Him and his son.
Unreal.
Shout out to Mike Carbone over at the Truth Network.
And Grayson. His question is, what do I do if I think I'm in my soft guy era? Because he picked up on that episode last week.
What
do I do if I think I'm in my soft guy era?
The question you need to ask yourself is, how much time do you have to play around?
True. Mm-hmm. Very true.
So if you have time to play around and get mad at your girlfriend and kind of rake her over the coals on your Snapchat or your TikTok account, okay, then I guess you have plenty of time to fool around.
Yeah, true.
Play away. But if you are like, no, you know what? My goal in life is, number one, to glorify Jesus Christ. Number two is to raise a godly family, to make a difference in this world, to raise kids who will be used by God in a profound way. And then you don't have time to play around with this soft guy. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true.
Neither do the ladies have time to sit there and say, you know, I want my man to be blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You don't have time to do that either.
Yep. Y'all, like, I saw a TikTok one time of these two girls arguing before a wedding. He was like, this is really funny. Why would you ruin my lipstick right before the wedding? They were like, you know what? You need to get out of here because you don't have time to be talking to me like that when your makeup looks like this.
Oh.
That's what Dr. Shaw is kind of like, yo, you do not have this
you
kind of time.
You do not have that kind of time.
Next one comes from Jonathan R. from the state of Georgia. I loved your Good Friday episode. I played it on the way home from our Good Friday service. Shout out from Georgia. Dr. Shaw, how did you manage to sit through a 3-hour service year after year as a little kid? That's got to be rough. I can barely get mine to sit through a 35-minute one.
It was entertaining.
Really?
Mm. It was entertaining because we got to see men in the church who otherwise would not preach.
Mm.
Get up and preach.
Yeah.
So it was kind of fun to watch them do the best they could. Sometimes it was funny because they would trip over their words. Sometimes it was good because they had worked with my dad.
Yeah.
They had it. One almost cussed.
Really?
One almost cussed.
That's always great in church when you're just waiting for the tea, waiting for the drama. Because you're sitting there for 3 hours, man. Somebody needs to bring it.
Don't be edgy.
Yeah.
Don't be edgy.
And then watching my dad sometimes because it would be warm. I mean, this is March, April time. The heat wave is on the horizon, uh-huh, coming into the weather. And so he would be up there and he could see him just nodding off.
Because your dad would sit on the stage behind the person preaching.
You know, back in, even some churches today, the pastors sit on the stage. So he would be up on the stage, and you could tell when he's nodding too much that he is just trying,
trying to stay awake.
He's trying to stay awake. It would be funny watching if he just like...
just be like nodding off a little bit. Like, would you watch?
Your eyebrows get real high because they're trying to pull your eyelids open, and you just...
Did you feel tense? Like, oh, come on, Dad, stay with her. Or were you like, this is pretty funny?
No, I would be a little embarrassed. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. And then there was this one guy who was... who was a GM of a department, general manager of a department in the railways.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, we had a lot of railway people.
True.
Mm-hmm. And he was a good guy, kind of a right-hand person to my dad. He was very high up in the railways, but at church, he was just a good, humble guy. And he had preached at church many, many times. And this time, he was talking about the title of the message was The 7 Rays from the Cross. 7 rays from the cross.
Mm. 7 rays?
Like light sun rays. Rays.
Okay.
The rays of light from the cross.
Okay.
And it was the most boring sermon ever.
Really? Did he deliver it well?
No. So we were seeing this, and then the first ray is a ray of grace that came from the cross.
Preach it.
And then, he went into the grace and all grace and all that, what that means. So by the time he got to the third or fourth one, I kind of was sitting like this, and I turned and I happened to see my mom over there. And when he went to the fifth ray from the cross, and I could see my mom's eyes. He's like,
she's ready for this. You know what's funny? That same look in Abigail, in your daughter's eye. I see that same look when something embarrassing is going. She's like,
Yeah.
It's funny, just watch. It's kind of crazy. I just had a really weird moment that I saw generational look from your mom, who I never met, down to you doing it there, imitating your mom, and then I saw your daughter doing it. That's insane.
I remember that I brought it up. I was like, Mom, what? You made a face in there. You're like, well, those rays kept coming.
One after the other after the other.
And then another one was, I remember in that service, there was a guy who went on to, he came to America, became a big dairy farmer out in Texas. I don't know where he went after that. But anyways, my dad gave him a chance to speak, mm-hmm. but he told him that 15 minutes.
Mm.
At the most 20 minutes. He wanted an hour.
An hour? How long was your dad's normal sermons?
Not an hour.
Wow.
Maybe 40 minutes.
Wow.
He wanted an hour. And this is a Good Friday service where different people are coming up to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember this interchange happening because he was sitting right there. And usually, used to be, I don't know how they were in the last days of my dad or how they are now, but back in the day, the Good Friday service was packed.
Yeah.
A lot of people were there.
Yeah.
And so he was sitting there, and I'm sitting here on the front row, and I saw this interchange where this one man was speaking, and after that, there was going to be a song, and then this guy was supposed to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching him and my dad, and my dad said, he kind of nodded to him like, you're up next.
Yeah.
And they already had this conversation happen beforehand. And he said,
it wasn't like 1 minute, like, give me a second. It was like, I want an hour.
I want an hour. I confirmed this later on And my dad's like, just, like 10, yeah. 10, 20 minutes is what he said.
Yeah.
He's like, just 1 hour. And my dad said.
The hilarious thing to me is like the nonverbal communication going on. Like something is happening in the immediate foreground of the pulpit, but they're just like. Mm?
Even
like,
right before he gets up there, like, I'm trying to revisit this one more time.
Yeah. And then he never got up. So I was like, what happened? So I asked my dad. He said, yeah, he asked for an hour. And I told him he's not going to get an hour. And then knowing that everybody's running behind, we're getting close to 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We should get out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still asking for an hour. And I told him no. And he said, 1 hour. And my dad said, you're not going to get up here then.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all that was happening non-verbally in the pews. Yeah. Between the, your dad on stage.
Between the stage and that side. See, we had pews.
Uh-huh.
And then there was this side pew where the electronic system, the PA system would sit and kind of like an overfill.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Overflow row. So he was sitting right there and I watched this and I was like, what's happening here?
Do you remember about how old you would have been?
I was probably about, oh my goodness, this had to be like in the late 70s, early 80s. So I was probably like seven, eight years old.
So Jonathan R., to answer your question, that's how you sit through a three-hour service. You look for the tea.
Yeah.
You look for it. That's true. You look for the tea.
You look for the tea. And guaranteed, I don't care where it is. In a church, it's always going to come to you.
Oh, you'll find it.
It'll come to you.
Our next question comes from Eddie G.
Gordo.
Gordo?
Eddie Gordo.
Lizzie McGuire style?
No, Eddie Gordo. Well, yeah, Gordo from Lizzie McGuire, but I'm thinking Eddie Gordo from Tekken 3.
Oh, okay.
Remember the guy that did all the flips and stuff?
Yeah,
that's him.
Eddie Gordo wants to know, does Christianity, and we asked him for this clarification, does Christianity traditionally, not doctrinally, look any different in India than it does in the U.S.?
So I guess not like what you believe, but like do you
Christian traditions.
Like I know one of the things that you said you didn't do like Christmas trees like in the church like we would do here or like Good Friday service looks a lot different.
So keep in mind, Christianity came to India back in the first century with Thomas. Mm-hmm. Thomas, the doubting Thomas, he's the one who brought Christianity to India.
Mm.
And I do believe that tradition. Some people doubt that tradition and they think, you know, every part of the world claimed some disciple, some apostle for themselves. And that's how it worked out that Thomas was for India because India was very philosophically minded. Mm-hmm. So who do you send over there? You get somebody who has a lot of questions, you know, who's doubts.
Yeah. Okay.
Who has doubts. So let's give Thomas the apostle to India.
Right.
I don't think it was quite like that because there's a lot of proof that the St. Thomas Christians did come from Thomas the apostle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The history of Christianity in India is more complicated than that. So yes, Christianity came first and foremost through Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
It came to the south, the southern tip of India.
Mm-hmm.
Then Christianity did come several other times through different people, different missionaries who brought Christianity, who were not connected to the St. Thomas Christians, who were not connected to the Syrian Orthodox Church. They were sort of a little different. And then Christianity came to the western part of India, but this time it came from the Portuguese.
Right.
Then it also came from the Dutch. Because Dutch East India Company was also in India.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A Portuguese Vasco da Gama came to India.
Mm-hmm.
So some form of Christianity came. I'm not saying evangelical, born-again, saved Christianity.
Right. Yeah. No Southern Baptists happening in India. No,
this may be Roman Catholic Christianity. Then with the British East India Company, another form of Christianity came to India. It came more to the north.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that Christianity looked different. So the Southern... that St. Thomas Christianity is different than the Portuguese and the Roman Catholic Christianity to the west part of India. North part is more Anglican. Once you begin to really step into Indian culture, you go, wait, there's a lot of diversity here.
Yeah. Is there a particular Americanized denomination that you would say most compares to how you grew up in the Alliance Church?
Probably Alliance. The one I grew up in.
Mm-hmm. Even if they're not as radical, what are some of the differences that you would note? Like if we were to go to your dad's church in its prime, what are some of the differences that we would see?
Well, keep in mind, my dad grew up Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So when he became a Christian, he had to learn Christianity. He had to learn what it is to be a a follower of Christ, mm-hmm. to be a Christian, to have to do church. And so the seminary he went to, Union Biblical Seminary, had professors and scholars coming from all over the world.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, they were, and especially from England and Germany and places like that, mm-hmm. even some from America.
Right.
And so he learned from them some of these things. But then there was also a hint of liberalism there. Mm. Not believing the Bible, not believing in miracles, not believing in the inerrancy and authority of Scripture. So when he left seminary, the way he said it, he said, I realized quickly I didn't have much to preach.
Mm-hmm. Mm, wow.
And so he actually subscribed to The Sword of the Lord by John R. Rice. Mm. So if any of y'all know who John R. Rice was, Sword of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he began to read that. Now, and keep in mind, he has a master's from a seminary, and yet he goes and he's reading this newsletter that comes out with messages and sermons and all that by John R. Rice. John R. Rice was a kind of a fundamentalist, evangelical preacher, teacher, great man of God. Mm-hmm. Of course, had his weaknesses. I'm sure everybody would say that. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't agree with this and that. But overall, did amazing things.
Yeah.
So my dad applied a lot of those principles in how he led the church.
We had this one come in last week, but just because of time's sake, we cut it. So I'm going to skip ahead to this one. This is Christopher H. from North Carolina. What do you think the H might stand for?
Hinkle.
Christopher Hinkle wants to know, at what point does someone go from having a doctrine you disagree with to teaching a false doctrine? Mm. So I guess that's the, like, where's the line? Because yeah. There's sometimes from the pulpit, you'll mention a scholar. And you'll say, hey, I don't agree with everything this scholar says, so I definitely disagree with it, but I'm more or less, we're on the same page, or mm-hmm. I'll at least shout him out from the pulpit or give him his due credit.
Yeah.
But there are some who say, no, that's way too far. I'm not mentioning you in my books. I'm not mentioning you in my sermons because this is a heretical doctrine.
Yeah.
Where, I guess he's asking, where is that line for you? Or where's that line objectively?
Yeah. Most of the times, There are people that I use who do cross the line, but they are so good in that one particular area. They're so objective, better than even our own people.
Wow.
Like when they're researching that particular word in Greek, or they are giving you historical information about a time period.
Yeah.
And they don't even believe in the Trinity.
Do you have any?
Yeah. But maybe I'm okay with that because they're giving me solid research.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was going to ask. I don't know if you have any examples with their names, but if you have any examples with like doctrines, but that's kind of one like they are good with this research, but they don't believe in something as foundational as the Trinity.
Yeah, it's like cooking. Mm-hmm. You know, there are different ingredients I have. Just because that one ingredient can also be used for an improper purpose or make something that is wrong or evil or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in this particular dish, in the proper amount, It makes it great. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use it. So that's how I see some of these people.
Do you feel as though that's a hard thing for some Christians to do? Like to say, hey, this person who I fundamentally disagree with is telling the truth sometimes.
I will actually counsel people, don't do what I do.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. Because I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I know when to, and even there, I have to be so careful and research. Like, why are you saying that? Why is he taking that view? And then after studying and research, you go, oh, wait a minute. I get it now. Because it also supports this view. Hence, he says this. So no, it did look very attractive here. But now looking at it, I know I can't take that. I got to go with this. Mm-hmm. And it makes a lot of sense because there are domino effects.
True.
So I do not recommend people do what I do. Unless you are like really well versed. Now, I'm not saying I'm the only one in the world who does that.
Right, right.
There are scholars and Christian PhDs who are very well versed and even better than I am. Mm-hmm. Who can navigate like that? But I won't recommend that. And if you think you are that, maybe you should be extra cautious.
Yeah, because it'll end up influencing your core primary doctrines. Yeah,
so good. Dr. Questions, thank you for answering our user-submitted questions today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you have questions that have been lingering, that you've been holding on to for some reason, don't be so stingy with those questions. Send them our way, 252-582-5028. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and become part of what God is doing through the Clearview Today Show. John, what's coming up next week?
Got a lot of exciting programming coming up next week. We're going to be taking a look at grace, taking a look at the personhood of Jesus Christ. Lots of amazing things right here on the Clearview Today Show. You might have noticed a couple of new changes with our music and our giving segments. Lots of great things that God is doing, and we're just going to keep expanding on those right here on the show.
That's right. Remember to find somewhere to worship with a church family near you. If you are in the Henderson or North Carolina area and you'd like to visit Clearview Church, you can write into the show and let us know. We'd love to see you this weekend at our worship services.
That's right.
Take a picture of your church program. Send it to us at the Clearview Today Show. We'd love to shout you out.
Here.
Absolutely. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.